Good morning. I'm Nancy Williams, in for Petals and Prose. And today, I just am dying to share with you some readings from one of my favorite books. It's a classic children's book from the turn of the century. Lots of you may be familiar with it. I'm always surprised, though, to find the number of people who aren't. And of course, since it was written at the turn of the century by a Scottish gentleman, it's beautifully written and has a place in the hearts of adults as well as children. And he writes about some animals. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Wind in the Willows was written by Kenneth Graham, who was born in Scotland in 1859. From the age of 5, he lived with his grandmother in the Berkshire, where he spent a lot of time on the banks of the River Thames. Wind in the Willows grew from a series of stories he wrote for his young son. And since its publication in 1908, Kenneth Graham's book has enchanted readers young and old. Readers here will meet the amiable mole, his hearty friend the water rat, the genial badger, and of course the irrepressible Mr. Toad, and enjoy some of the most memorable adventures in children's literature. I want to read to you today from Chapter 4, which is just entitled Mr. Badger, and it's winter stories. All of his stories about these animals on the river are indexed pretty much according to seasons also. They wait patiently for what seemed a very long time, stamping in the snow to keep their feet warm. At last they heard the sound of slow, shuffling footsteps approaching the door from the inside. It seemed, as the mole remarked to the rat, like someone walking in carpet slippers that were too large for him and down at the heel, which was intelligent of mole because that was exactly what it was. There was the noise of a bolt shot back, and the door opened a few inches to show a long snout and a pair of sleepy eyes. "Now, the very next time this happens," said a gruff and suspicious voice, "I shall be exceedingly angry. Who is it this time disturbing people on such a night? Speak up." "Oh, Badger," cried the rat, "let us in, please. It's me, Rat, and my friend Mole, and we've lost our way in the snow." "Ratty!" exclaimed the badger in quite a different voice. "Come along in, both of you. Why, you must be perished." "Well, I never. Lost in the snow, and in the wild wood, too, at this time of night." The two animals tumbled over each other in their eagerness to get inside and heard the door shut behind them with great joy and relief. The badger, who wore a long dressing gown and whose slippers were indeed very down at the heel, carried a flat candlestick and had probably been on his way to bed when their summons sounded. "This is not the sort of night for small animals to be out," he said. "I'm afraid you've been up to some of your pranks again, Ratty." He shuffled on in front of them, carrying the light, and they followed him down a long, and to tell the truth, decidedly shabby passage, into a sort of a hall out of which they could see other passages branching mysteriously. There were doors as well, stout oaken doors. One of these the badger flung open, and they found themselves in all the glow and warmth of a large firelit kitchen. The kindly badger thrust them down onto a settle to toast themselves at the fire, and bade them remove their wet coats and boots. And then he fetched them dressing gowns and slippers, and he bathed the mole's hurt shin with warm water, and he mended the cut with a sticking plaster till the whole thing was as good as new, if not better. Warm and dry at last, with weary legs propped up in front of them, it seemed to the storm-driven animals that the cold and trackless wildwood just left outside was miles and miles away, and all they had suffered in it was a half-forgotten dream. When at last they were thoroughly toasted, the badger summoned them to the table. They had felt pretty hungry before, but when they saw the supper spread for them, it seemed only a question of what they should attack first, where all was so attractive, and whether the other things would wait till they had time to give them attention. Conversation was impossible for a long time, and when it was resumed, it was that regrettable sort that results from talking with your mouth full. The badger did not mind that sort of thing at all, nor did he take any notice of elbows on the table or everybody speaking at once. As the animals told their story, he did not seem surprised or shocked at anything. He never said, "I told you so," or "just what I always said," or remarked that they ought to have done so and so, or ought not to have done something else. the mole began to feel very friendly towards him. Supper finished, they gathered round the glowing embers of the great fire and thought how jolly it was to be sitting up so late and so full. And after they had chatted for a time, the badger said, "Well, it's time we were all in bed." He conducted the two animals to a long room that seemed half bedchamber and half loft. The badger's winter food stores took up half the room, but the two little beds on the remainder of the floor looked soft and inviting, and the linen on them, though coarse, was clean and smelt beautifully of lavender. And the mole and the water rat, shaking off their garments in some 30 seconds, tumbled in between the sheets in great joy and contentment. The two tired animals came down to breakfast very late next morning and found a bright fire burning in the kitchen and two young hedgehogs sitting on a bench at the table eating oatmeal porridge out of wooden bowls. The hedgehogs dropped their spoons and rose to their feet respectively as the two entered. Sit down," said the rat pleasantly, "and go on with your porridge. Where have you youngsters come from? Lost your way in the snow, I suppose?" "Yes, please, sir," said the elder of the two hedgehogs. "Me and Billy was trying to find our way to school, and we lost ourselves, sir, and Billy got frightened and took and cried, being young, and we happened up against Mr. Badger's back door and knocked, sir, for Mr. Badger, he's a kind-hearted gentleman, as everyone knows." "I understand," said the rat, cutting himself some rashers of bacon, while the mole dropped some eggs into a saucepan. "And what's the weather like outside? You needn't sir me quite so much," he added. "Oh, terrible bad, sir. Terrible bad the snow is," said the hedgehog. "No getting out for you gentlemen today." "Where is Mr. Badger?" inquired the mole. "The master's gone into his study, sir," replied the hedgehog, "and said as how he was going to be particular busy this morning, and on no account was he to be disturbed." The animals well knew that Badger, having eaten a hearty breakfast, had retired to his study and settled himself in an armchair with his legs on another one and a red cotton handkerchief over his face, and he was being busy in the usual way at this time of the year. And that is the way children were introduced to this magical world of the underground lives of the badger and the mole and the rat in the woods along the River Thames. There's more of this wonderful thing. I could read it forever, but it's way too long to read in one little episode of Petals and Prose. So all I can do is give you that much, maybe intrigue you to find it, find a copy and read it again. Happy winter to you all. I'll see you next time. This is Nancy Williams for Petals and Prose.